Hello, I'm Hilary, and you're listening to an Adept English podcast designed to help you learn to speak English fluently. I love the English language, and I help hundreds of thousands of listeners speak English every month. Listen to this podcast today and see how your fluency improves. Hi there, and welcome to this short podcast from Adept English, helping you with your English language learning. One of the things which has changed over the last 40 years is food in the UK. Food in the UK is high quality. It's really good. Not all of it, but much of it. There are delicacies, specialities of the region, like in France, lots of really good quality produce, and interesting and particular cuisine. There are a lot of different traditional foods from different places in the UK, and I'd say that we have become more well known for our quality foods and prouder of them too in the last few years. Back in the 1970s and the 1980s, it's true to say that Britain was known, certainly in Europe, for not having good food. But if that reputation still persists, if that view of British food continues, well, it's out of date. It's not like that anymore here. Good food is important to people. And we're more choosy, more fussy. We care about the quality of food. Fussy, choosy, picky. These are all adjectives to describe someone who is selective, careful. In this context, about what they eat. Someone who's not going to be happy with just any old type of food. Someone to whom the choice matters. Discerning, discerning. That's another good descriptive word, meaning that we're mindful of quality. That's more formal discerning than choosy, fussy or picky, but they mean the same. Of course, like in any other country of the world, it's possible to have a bad meal at a restaurant in the UK. But it's certainly not the norm and not that common. I think we've become more aware of the particular types of food that we do really well in the UK and which are our traditions. That's always been true of countries like France or Italy. There's a lot of tradition around food preparation and cooking in countries like France and Italy. And the focus is on knowing how to make food, on enjoying it, and it's part of family life and part of national pride. In the UK, perhaps with the exception of the US, we probably eat a greater variety of food from different places around the world, different countries, different cuisine than anywhere else. But we're no longer ashamed of our British food. British food is now something to be proud of. And there are types of food that we do really well. Eating British is popular. The gastro pub helped make it popular in the 1990s, reviving British food and making British food more fashionable. A gastro pub, G-A-S-T-R-O-P-U-B, it's gastronomic and pub added together. So it's a pub where you can enjoy restaurant quality food. What we really seem to like is knowing where our food comes from, which particular location is the type of food or the recipe from. So we'll speak of cheddar cheese. And yes, cheddar is a place in the county of Somerset. In fact, British cheese is almost always called by the name of the place it comes from. So from cheddar to Cheshire cheese, Lancashire cheese, Caerphilly cheese, and even Stilton cheese comes specifically from parts of Derbyshire, Leicestershire and Nottinghamshire. We'll talk of Cornish pasties, a flat type of pie which comes from Cornwall. We'll talk of Melton Mowbray pork pies. Melton Mowbray is a little village in Leicestershire. And of course there are Yorkshire puddings from Yorkshire. Though actually anyone can make those, you don't need special ingredients. Just know how. In a previous podcast, I gave you a foolproof recipe for Yorkshire puddings. It works every time. And if you think about it, there are just so many regional variations in British food that we enjoy. We've become proud of it. and it extends to alcohol as well. London gin, Scotch or Irish whiskey. And have you heard of stout, S-T-O-U-T, or PIMS, P-I-M-M-S, or even Newcastle Brown Ale? No surprise where that comes from. Very British alcohol. One of the English words which I've heard used much more in recent years is provenance, P-R-O-V-E-N-A-N-C-E. If shops or companies are trying to sell a type of food or drink to us, they'll tell us about its provenance. Provenance means, where does it come from? What's its history? What's its origin? And we like a story rich in history and tradition. So apples that are called Bramley apples or potatoes, which are Jersey Royals, say something about the origin. These names make them more desirable because they tell you it's a certain type of apple or a certain type of potato. You know what you're getting. You have ordinary pasties, but then you have Cornish pasties, and you expect Cornish pasties to be prepared in a certain way. And now there's a legal basis for some of this. Just like the French have their appellation d'origine contrôlée, that's controlled naming related to origin, and the Italians have their denominazione di origine controllata, sorry about my pronunciation, we also have this for certain foods in the UK. It means that only certain regions of the country can produce certain foods and use those names. And there are controls over how it's produced. This ensures quality and authenticity, and of course benefits the producers of that particular food. It's like champagne can only come from the Champagne region in France, and Parma ham or prosciutto can only come from that certain region of Italy. After the UK leaves the EU on the 1st of January 2021, the UK will have its own schemes called Protected Designation of Origin, PDO, Protected Geographical Indication, PGI, and Traditional Speciality Guaranteed, TSG. Those are a mouthful, aren't they? But these schemes will protect the names of British products after we leave the EU. And of course, if the UK wants new names to be controlled within the EU, they have to apply to the EU again. But the names the EU already protects will continue to enjoy protection. There are endless varieties of British foods and drinks to try. As we move from November into December, we start to think about Christmas and our thoughts turn to food. We like good food and lots of it at Christmas. And given the restrictions on social contact that we have this year, which will make it very difficult to see people still, I think that enjoying good food is going to be even more important. So selecting and cooking food is going to be more part of Christmas than ever. And what's probably true at Christmas, we do tend to go British. As I said before, we're very broad in our taste most of the time. The version of Indian curry that's served in Indian restaurants up and down the UK, that's many people's favourite food. But as we move into December and food that's associated with Christmas, we tend to choose traditional British food, and that's not just for our Christmas dinner. That's most of the cooking around that time of year. If you're enjoying our podcast but you haven't signed up for our free course, The 7 Rules of Adept English, then you may not be using the podcast in the way that most benefits your language learning. To really understand our listen and learn method, and make use of our natural way of learning English, go to our website at adeptenglish.com and sign up for this free course to learn the secrets of how to become fluent in English. Enough for now. Have a lovely day. Speak to you again soon. Goodbye. That's the end of this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. You can listen to hundreds more podcasts and learn more about our approach to language learning with our free English language course available at adeptenglish.com. If you're serious about your English language learning and you want to go further and progress faster, we have English courses ready to download at adeptenglish.com today.